Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock, two in the books, one to go on a pretty solid show, especially for a week heading into the holiday weekend. You guys have been good, been bringing it. The gifts, though, over the top.
Hilarious.
Ridiculously hilarious and also very bad at the same time.
And there's still more. There's still more coming in, so we'll get to those eventually.
Oh, my God. By the way, the See's Candy Shop is alive and well and kicking at First Colony Mall. I found out during the break, so hopefully I'm saved. That helps me a lot. I can't tell you how happy I am about that. So what else we got,
guys? Did you see this tweet from Darren Rovell? He tweeted out about 6-7 hours ago, said, "This date, 125 years ago, Dr. James Naismith invents the sport of basketball. The original rules he wrote sold for $4.3 million back in 2010. The original rules, there are 13 of them. Could you imagine in today's game trying to have a sport like basketball with only 13 rules in them?
Well, I can tell you this. They added at least 100 more just for Nick and his game after the one pickup game we played.
The first rule is the ball may be thrown in any direction with one or both hands. That's a rule. Like, now that's just a given, right? The ball may be batted in any direction with one or both hands, never with the fist. A player cannot run with the ball. The player must throw it from the spot in which he catches it. Allowance to be made for a man who catches the ball when running at a good speed if he tries to stop." Like, these seem ridiculous now.
Yeah, but what's the fist one again?
You can't, like, you can bat the ball in any direction with one or both hands, but you can't
close fist
do it. Yeah, with, yeah, you can't fist it.
There's no fisting?
Yeah, you can't fist the ball, but you can bat it down, apparently. So I guess you can't, like, you know, volleyball spike it with your fist or whatever. A foul is striking at the ball with the fist. Violations of rule 3, 4, and 5. If either side makes 3 consecutive fouls, it shall count a goal for the opponent. Huh. These are weird, aren't they?
Yeah.
Could you imagine basketball play like this now?
Dr. Naismith was not a fan of fisting, evidently.
No.
Maybe too many medical issues he's had to deal with.
Yeah.
I don't know. But at the same time, I think when that story rang a bell with me that I believe somehow or another Dr. Naismith or someone associated had some association, I believe, with the University of Kansas, because I believe in Fog Allen Fieldhouse that those rules, when they were purchased, are on display and were donated to the display in the lobby at Kansas, I think.
Yeah, that would be pretty slick to go see those, though.
Yeah, because I think they say it is a huge tourist attraction.
I think I retweeted it, but there was a picture of the rules, and they're typed, and there's actually some notes written on them. But here's one that's really interesting. It says no shouldering, holding, pushing, tripping, or striking in any way the person of an opponent shall be allowed. The first infringement of this rule by any player shall count as a foul. The second shall disqualify him until the next goal is made, or if there was evident intent to injure the person for the whole game, no substitute allowed. So you go in there and you give someone the business and you shoulder them or you push them, which is pretty much what happens on every rebound now.
Yep.
You're out until the next goal is made. And if you were trying to injure them, you leave. And now it's like in hockey, they are down a man. So now they got to finish the game 5-on-4. That's crazy.
So it's a power play.
Yeah, I would love that now if they would do that. You don't get
it sounds
substitute.
Like all these rules were made for Boogie Cousins.
Yeah. This was
if you can bring him back early in the locker room,
right?
Then you would be made for Boogie Cousins.
But this is your original basketball. And then there's a bunch of rules about scoring and if there's a tie and all that. And there's like throw-ins are weird. It's pretty interesting.
God love Lauren Pope, by the way, because she tweeted pictures of the mock turtleneck and turtleneck dickies.
Yeah, both. I didn't know that they had a mock turtle.
I didn't
dickie.
Either.
I don't know.
Man, I was big back in the day working for The Rock. We're wearing suits with an actual mock underneath it.
Did you rock a gold chain around the turtleneck?
Never out. There's still people in high positions
don't
that do
lying,
that
don't be lying, Joel. You know you did that.
No.
You know you rocked it.
Oh, the other one that's always good, and people were named nameless, but like high-ranking people over there. How about the fact you wear the whole suit with a white belt? No, white belts are only for golf. And only basically for pros.
And douchebags that wear the blue jeans with the white threads in them. Don't they rock those?
You mean the...
Yeah.
Like I'm kind of jumping in because I was getting some audio, but the white belt thing is hot right now.
Still?
I think so.
Really?
The white belt was hot for a while because of all the golf stuff.
Or maybe I am a year or two.
I really feel like
the white belt faded away. But you never wear a white belt with a suit.
I really feel like the white belt is the thing that people rock on Jersey Shore when they've got the Affliction shirts on and the blue jeans with the white threads.
That's probably more appropriate. That sounds right.
Yeah. And then it's the dude that wears like a ring on his thumb. You know that guy?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the thumb ring guy.
Is that the True Religion jeans? No. The ones that have the outstitching?
I don't think so. No, I don't know what they're called, but you can get them at Buckle along with a white belt.
Put True Religion in your shirt.
I've had a pair of True Religion jeans, but they make like regular jeans.
The other thing you don't wear besides a white belt with a suit, don't try and
be cool. Yeah, a suit is different than jeans, too, by the way.
Yeah,
totally different.
Yeah, you don't wear the white belt with a suit. You don't wear a white belt. You don't wear like the Louis Vuitton with the logo all over it with a suit. Just that's fine with your jeans or your like
your belt should match your shoes.
Yeah, the belt matches the shoes and not with a pattern like that.
Well, nowadays those rules are broken a little bit, but
they're broken every day in certain places that I used to
I prefer the braided belt that has so much extra belt at the end that it hangs down to like mid thigh.
So it like
I like to rock that with the suit.
So it like can be mistaken by the security guard in San Diego when looking at a cheerleader.
Boy, I looked at that again last night on my Twitter timeline, and I was like, it looks like he's sharpening a sword. You know how they get the...
He's polishing it,
You know
too.
How they get the stone, and they just kind of sharpen the sword? That's what it brought to mind. Maybe I'm playing too much Witcher video game now. Disco Biscuit said, my dad gave me a grocery sack full of used DVDs 1 year for Christmas. That's pretty strong.
Wow.
Here's some others. My brother, this might be my favorite, not the worst gift in the world, could be my favorite story, though. My brother, who is a preacher, mislabeled his presents 1 year and accidentally gave me his wife's donger.
Wow. And he's a preacher?
can you imagine?
Dirty.
The faces of everyone in the room. First of all, you've got the dude that opens it that's like, why did you give me a donger?
I'm waiting for you to go where I'm thinking.
And then you've got the face of the preacher who's going, why did I give him my wife's donger? And then you've got the face of the wife who's going, damn it, I wish I would have got that donger.
And then you got the kids who are just there one way or the other that want it while you're hoping it kind of dies and goes away. Goes, daddy, what's this?
Can't come back from that.
Uncle Bobby got a sword. That's not a sword.
And why does it have a pulse ring and go?
That's not a sword. Yeah, that is not a sword, son. Somebody said my brother took a dump in a box, wrapped it up, and gave it to me. I was 10.
Wow.
This was just something about the Christmas party. Not a horrible gift itself, but my brother once gave me a video game that I already had. His reason was, just in case you wanted to play it again. To be fair, he was a stoner.
Someone I went to college with sent me this the other day, that their son now is a point guard. That's playing, and so I was asking, how's he doing? He didn't start tonight. It was part of his punishment. And I go, what did he do? He was in class, and the girl in front of him had jeans on that were too low in the back, and she was showing the full slot.
Crack.
Yeah, the ass crack. And he took a pencil and took a stab at it and threw it, and it stuck in the crack. The whole class laughed. And he has to sit out. He doesn't have to sit out the games. He can't start for a week
for
his high school
team. Now, he's a point guard?
Yeah.
He needs to be moved to shooting guard because that's not easy.
That's a hell of a good shot, right?
You need to make him a shooting guard.
Or start playing darts, big up there.
That dude can shoot.
Yeah, but that's tough, man. And then so then they at the dinner table, they're like, you know why you got suspended, blah, 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 yeah. Would you do it again now that you know what happened? And he laughed and said, yeah.
Yeah, I would.
I like it.
Either that or get him a lawn dart set. One time my dad got a bunch of gift wrapped boxes filled with nothing, and then after I opened them, my dad just yelled, fake out.
Hey, why did Dr. Dre on 290 ask you, do I roll in an 86 IROC Camaro?
I think they were asking about something else when we were talking about the jeans and the douchebag.
Oh, okay.
Sure, the white belt. That's probably what he was asking.
I was like, I don't get it. Explain it.
Yeah, Jersey Shore. Did that person in the white belt that wears it with a suit
roll
in an IROC Camaro? Someone said, I got a bum quarterback from Mr. McNair for Christmas. That was my worst gift. There you go. I see what you did there. It's safe to say, though, leader in the clubhouse is definitely maggots eating grandma's ashes.
Yeah, that's pretty.
That is strong.
Yeah.
Good luck beating that, kids.
Yeah, that's bad.
That ain't happening. Pretty great.
Yeah. So it's been rolling like that, and we've got plenty more to get to. So we want to make sure you're part of the show. We still have some things to get to in terms of other things that are wild and crazy. Nothing like these Christmas gifts, by the way, but as we get closer to the holiday season, we're getting close to playoff season in the NFL, and the playoff picture, I guess, is starting to get a little bit more clear and less muddled. But we can talk about that as well, because there's options. Unfortunately, still not enough that if you don't win the division in the South, it doesn't get you in. But there are options, and both sides seem to have plenty in terms of teams that still have a crack at the playoffs. Yeah. We'll get to all that and more. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel, Barry, and Nick till 4 o'clock. And, you know, I was thinking in the break, Nicholas, that we were talking about how it's like it's all over Facebook. Now that the political race is over, the hot topic on Facebook and Twitter is how unseasonably rude people are during the holidays. Because we were talking about, Barry was talking about the parking and everything like that. And I was thinking of, like, people started coming up with, like, what would you do to kind of kibosh or combat when people do something in the parking lot? And, like, all these people are like, this guy did exactly what Barry was talking about in a parking lot, so I had these notes made with, like, Mickey Mouse flipping you off, and then there's a sign he's holding in the other hand, but it doesn't say anything. You just take your pen and go, hey, jag off, you did this, this, and this, blah, blah. I think one of the funniest ones, and I don't know if this is politically correct or not, but I still think this is, you can do this a million different ways because there's still a lot of people that are asking for money during the holidays. But like in Houston and Midtown, particularly when we live down there, every single store, like the CVS's, the Randall's, everything, they're waiting and asking for money all the time. And they have security guys on hand, but it just seems like they're too busy on their cell phone to do anything about it. But a suggestion that I saw, which is like the funniest thing that I've heard, is like beat them to the punch. So like you're getting out of your car and you're like, oh God, because you can see the guy's warming up because he gets you. Before he asks you.
You ask him?
Ask him.
I heard there's a comic that does a joke about that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But it like literally stifled him. I was walking into Randall's in Midtown and I could see that I knew the guy had been there before. He was warming up to ask me and it was always, hey boss man, you got any change? And so before he could get to me, I go, hey boss man, it's been kind of tough this holiday. You got a couple bucks? I got a gift I got to get. Just absolutely took his facial expression to like he just got shot and was like, and just turned and
stoned
walked away.
Him. Yeah, there you stoned go. Him.
That was crazy.
That's but a good yeah, idea.
People reverse psychology.
Exactly. People were all over this parking thing, by the way, trying to think of ways like, what do you do to the car? What do you do? And it's just like, too many people have a gun these days. You can't do anything like that anymore.
I did. I got
at
out.
Least you didn't. Oh, let me rephrase it.
Because I have a gun, so
I was
going to
say, at least you didn't pull it out.
No, no.
But no, at least no. You didn't use the gun this time.
Yeah, I leave it in the truck, but I wanted him to know that he's an a-hole. And there's nothing wrong with telling people that.
Unless he has a gun.
Yeah, unless he's got a gun.
Well, yeah, I'm definitely not getting in a shootout over a parking spot, that is for sure.
I'd be really aggressive.
I have fought for dumber reasons. But I'm certainly not getting in a shootout over a parking
everybody
spot.
These days has fought for dumb. People continue to fight for dumb, just like it's dumb and dumber.
Yeah.
For reasons. Like literally, and you see it on the news almost every night now, the parking thing where grown women with kids each get out of their car and start throwing haymakers.
Squabbing, just over, kidding.
Yeah, just like battle to the bloody finish.
But you got to love the fact that the whole family was willing, they're just down to fight, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then,
that's hilarious.
I think it's even funnier when, like, okay, two people, to use Barry's scenario, two people fighting over the same parking spot, okay? There's an argument that ensues, and then they start getting into it. What kills me is the third-party car, who just has a bunch of badass chicks in it, who just like getting it in and mixing it up, they stop and start watching. Then get out of the car and start throwing haymakers too, and they had nothing to do with it.
That happened?
Wow. Oh yeah, it was on the news. It was like a month ago, and like everybody, it was like right after Black Friday when all the parking lots and the malls were jammed. Two women get into it with a carload of kids and other women, so it's like almost like a the Warriors movie or like it's like two gangs.
Did they start snapping?
Yeah. Come out to play and the whole works. They square off. And then I imagine eventually the two women that started the whole jawing start throwing punches. A third car gets in front of the person holding the cell phone. And it's like a Chinese fire drill. The doors open. All four girls get out. And they just come out, start throwing blows. And I'm going, what is the world coming to?
Wow.
I like it.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I like it.
Well,
see, I thought about that because when he was getting in the back seat, because like I said, when I walked over to him and started jawing at him, he was out of his car and he was getting into the back seat to get something. And my first thought was, I wonder if he's getting out a baby. Because then if he's getting out a baby and I go over and punch this dude, I might actually punch the baby too.
Yeah.
And then am I an a-hole for punching a baby?
Anybody who punches a baby is an a-hole.
Well, 100%. If you're holding a baby and you're the...
How are you going to excuse that?
Well, let me finish, Nick. If you're holding a baby and you are worthy of a punching, if you have been deemed punchable by an offense such as stealing a parking spot...
And you're holding a year-old baby.
And you grab a toddler, you get a baby to try to deflect said punching. Is it really my fault if you know you have a punching coming and you get, then I punch the baby?
Hey, Nick, I have a follow-up question to that.
I'm asking.
But
I'm
if
not
you're holding a cat, and it's all bets
cat,
are off. I knew it.
Straight to hell, yeah. Sir.
If you're holding a baby, do whatever you want. But if you're holding a cat,
you
have crossed the line,
my friend.
I'm calling
PETA.
Humans are weird like that, because if you mess with my dog, it's going down. For sure.
Well, yeah, I agree with that.
You punch my baby, and I might be like, well,
my wife uses my baby daughter against me. Like, my wife is always like,
hold it out the window like Michael
now.
Jackson?
No, that's just you have a child now. You can't fight anymore. You can't get into an argument on the basketball court. Can't do anything. Because you have a child now. You're a dad, and she needs you around.
Man.
I'm like, there might be some sweet gym clothes out there that I'm not aware of, but ain't nobody hiding a gun playing pickup ball.
You just gave me another reason to add to the list of reasons I don't want kids.
See?
I don't need that held over me. You have kids now. You can't fight.
Oh, road rage.
My wife. They're crazy people out there. Well, it's all right. I might be one of them. You don't know.
Yeah, because I have a bunch of friends that have kids, and they always tell me, like, man, I used to speed all the time, but now that I have a kid, I just... always hitting the speed limit. I'm like, I don't know if I can slow down.
Yeah. Somebody wants to know what kind of gun and truck I have. That's a little...
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Hey,
I wouldn't open that can of worms.
What kind of truck and gun, and where did you park at work?
Yeah.
What? No.
He's got the Cowboys logo in the back window on the gun
rack. Beaumont?
On the gun rack.
I've got a gun rack with my name.
And his favorite cleaner
in.
To do any kind of household chores is 409.
Yeah, I've got a my name written on my truck in old English script.
Yep.
Kind of in a semicircle.
Yep.
Because nothing says badass when it's Laminac and old
Calvin
English.
From Calvin and Hobbes peeing on a Hillary Clinton face.
Peeing on a baby.
Oh. I'm just kidding. Yeah. And a Hillary Clinton face.
Oh, that's so wrong.
Disco
right.
Biscuit says nothing gets me madder than the less fortunate asking for money during the holidays. I said, try the technique. Let us know how it goes. I'd be interested.
I have a feeling it was a little tongue-in-cheek. Was she giving you the business, I think?
I don't think so.
I think Disco Biscuit is giving
you
the
right.
business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me try to read it again nothing gets me madder when the less fortunate ask for money during the holidays.
Right. That's on
Jesus. Because
yep.
you didn't read that part. She ended it with Jesus.
Yep. That's me. That's on me. And the thing was, I'm not talking about this during the holidays. This was like the same guy that's been there forever during like any day, USA, not in the holidays. But,
right.
Yeah, I get your point, Disco Biscuit. You don't have to respond with another one with cuss words to make your point. Really, really cute. Good stuff. All right, you win. Are you happy now? Wow. By the way, guess what I forgot that you forgot that Nick forgot?
Uh-oh.
We have a guest in 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he just texted me he may be 2 to 4 minutes late, and then he said maybe
unacceptable.
Not. But Keenan McCardell is on his way, so we can get NFL and other football talk out of the way with Keenan talking about the Texans and the fact that the game means nothing against the Cincinnati Bengals this weekend. But the quarterback change is upon us, and all kinds of details on that. Bill O'Brien, Brock Osweiler, Tom Savage, and the party's at hand. Keenan McCardell next, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, well, well. Look who wasn't late after all.
Never that.
Well, I don't know about never, because you were already setting the table like you were going to be late. Keenan McCardell,
I just want to see your face.
Covering his face. In living color.
His face is like, oh, no. Panic mode.
No, we totally forgot you were coming in. So there was no panic. Yeah, there was no panic. There was no panic at the disco, son.
Make it special.
So, Keenan McCardell with Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Plenty to get to with you. Let's go first and foremost with what you witnessed and what your thoughts were on the Tom Savage appearance and now starting quarterback of your Houston Texans.
It was a good move. I mean, at the time, you know, Brock wasn't getting it done. I mean, he hadn't been getting it done the last couple games, and the way they wanted it done, you make the move, you give your team a spark, you know, because if you lose to Jacksonville, it's over, you know. But they came back, found a way to win it, and, you know, he actually played pretty well. I mean, you know, coming in, you know, and completing, he had a very good completion percentage, and, you know,
he looked poised. I liked his poise in the pocket and the fact that he obviously studied when he was on the sidelines because he knew what to do and where to go.
And the guys rallied around him, too. That's what I like. Seemed like they were looking for that move.
I felt like DeAndre Hopkins' attitude was different. His body language was different. Did you not? I mean, do you disagree? It felt like he had a little swag. He had that old swag where he was pointing for first downs and mad when he dropped a ball and not just running back to the huddle. Like, he looked more into the game.
You know what? It did. I mean, but I won't say that. I mean, just they were down. They needed to.
Yeah.
They needed to get this win. You know, I mean, you know, if they lost this game to Jacksonville, people would have been like, "Whoa, this is not what we expected." Now, and Jacksonville came in and gave them their best shot. And
Borders, for the most part, was a game manager, which is all they needed, and kept them in it to where they were bleeding for most of the way. I mean, they were doing what they had to do. But it's interesting now that they needed that game, but doesn't matter if they win or lose against Cincinnati.
Well, it does.
It does.
It kind of does, but
well,
it doesn't.
So here's the long shot scenario. The Jags, if by some measure of success, are able to beat the Titans. If the Jags, let's say that they're all playing for their jobs, they're
right,
playing for an interim coach, whoever comes in is going to be clearing house, and they're going to be watching this film. If the Jags beat the Titans and the Texans beat the Bengals, then it doesn't matter what happens in Week 17.
No doubt.
The Texans are in.
So this game really matters. I mean, I know you've been saying it doesn't. I mean, every game matters because
everybody said it was such a tough decision to make. It's not as tough not as if tough you were playing decision. Tennessee this week.
I say it matters because here's a team that's not playing great and you want to get them playing better. You want to get your team playing better, get the momentum going into the playoffs. If you make the playoffs, this game really matters to get you rolling for the playoffs.
Well, aside from that, the pressure is enormous on this decision because they know that they have to run the table in order for you to be right.
No doubt.
So they had to make this move now or run the risk of the wrath of Keenan McCardell.
Well,
or was it a walkie-talkie that I had like the Giants and had?
Well, is that the call if that was the worst Christmas move gift you ever got? That would be interesting as well.
I might have called for the move way out in Sugarland.
Yeah,
well, could be. I could have told you. I could have answered it and given you the response.
I do like the fact that now he's got, if he's going to be the quarterback, that now, you know, this week, next week, and into the playoffs, if they make it, I like the fact that you're going ahead and doing it now because he can get some game time under his belt. He can work with the first team. He can get a little bit of chemistry going with these guys, and maybe that gives you a better shot.
You know, the best thing about the game and against Jacksonville was that Tom came in and nobody knew what to expect from him. You know, they didn't have any film on him. They didn't know how to prepare for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, this week, be a little bit different. Cincinnati has seen some game film on him and prepared. And so we'll see how he plays now, you know, because most defensive, they don't know what a backup quarterback is until he gets there. That's why a lot of the times most backups have a lot of success when they first come in, because they don't know his strengths or weaknesses.
That's interesting.
So now we'll see how Tom plays this week. And you know what? That button to put Brock back in still could be hot. You know, it just depends on how Tom plays. I mean, so I'm expecting him to play well, because I know as a player, and you're getting an opportunity to show yourself, to show your worth to this team, and to show yourself to other teams that are looking for quarterbacks. I think he'll play well.
It'll be interesting, too, because the thing that I pointed, when we were talking about it, Barry and I talked about it the last couple of days, and Trapp talked about it Monday, but the thing that I liked the most about all of this was his poise. The fact that he stepped up in the pocket, he knew his progressions, he knew his reads, he didn't stare down receivers, and he knew if nothing was there, he knew when it was time with the mental clock to throw it away. So yes, there were a couple that could have been picks, it could have turned out a different way, but for the most part, it wasn't happy feet, it wasn't the floater and the sailor where Brock drops the elbow, goes sidearm, gets the happy feet because the pocket's collapsing. He showed a ton of poise and a lot of knowledge for a guy that has never really played in the NFL before. And I think all those things are exactly what they needed at the right time. So I like the move. I thought that this would be different, though. The only reason I brought it up with you was if this was Tennessee this week, I think Bill O'Brien thinks long and hard about sticking with Brock.
No.
Really? Okay.
He plays Tom, and let's go at it. You know, I think, you know,
So you're ready to just say, we're riding him out for the rest of the year.
If you make this move like you made it, uh-huh, you ride him out.
Okay.
That's my thing. But I know that button, just being on the coaching side, yep, I know that button is still hot to put back in.
You reserve the right.
You reserve the right to put your starting quarterback in.
So you agree, too, that if you would have done this, the reverse, Brock starts this week, now he's looking over his shoulder and he's afraid to even make one mistake, so he's playing tentative. Whereas you put the young kid in, and if it doesn't go well, you can push that button and make that change, and the kid goes, yeah, I'm learning.
And guess what? Tom has nothing to lose.
Right.
He can wing it, you know. So if I'm him, I'm going out, and this should relax me and let me play the best game of my career.
Okay. One thing I want to ask you before we get off that topic of just that game itself, but a team you're very familiar with, that Gus Bradley situation, and we all said he was done at the end of the year, but you talk about the worst way to handle it. Just the fact that you knew a day before that you were going to do it, then you held off till after the game to do it, and then you put him on the plane, which I liken to a bad receiving line at a wedding must have been. He's on the plane with his now ex-team, and the word gets out. And by the way, Luke Kuechly and those guys, or not Luke Kuechly, Paul Posnanski said they found out on social media on the buses going to the plane, and then they know he's going to be on the plane for the next 2.5 hours doing kind of like a swan song. That's just awful.
It's really awful. I mean, I don't think, you know what, you could have waited before it all got out. You could have waited and got him off the plane when you got to Jacksonville, and, you know, take the ride back to the stadium.
Don't Lane Kiffin him, but do it after the flight.
I mean, just do it after the flight, you know. And you know, that was a tough one because they actually played a really good football game for Gus. I mean, they came in, nobody was expecting them to play the way they played. Coming in here, and they played their butts off. And you know what? I was there last week. I was there in Jacksonville last week, and last week wasn't a great game. This week was a lot better game for this team. They competed a lot more than what I saw last week. And to say, you know, you had two games left. I mean, you might as well let him ride it out.
What about the guys
that
had a problem with him riding back on the plane? I would think most players, especially if they were, you know, his guys, or, you know, they knew he was in their corner, would have said, hey, it's a tough deal. It's tough for him to put him through that. But there were players that seemed ticked off that they had to deal with him on the plane.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's why I said it was a bad situation by letting it get out. I mean, letting it leak. I just couldn't believe it leaked before they even got to the plane.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a bad deal. I mean, and, you know, my old organization, you know, I hope they learned a lesson about letting stuff get out before it's supposed to. And, you know, you got a lot of people that have friends in the media that will go
snitch.
Out and snitch and yep. say, hey, this is what's about to happen. And it shouldn't happen that way.
Yeah. You know, Jalen Ramsey played a hell of a game.
Yep.
Does he get enough credit? Are the eyes on him that should be on him? Because watching him,
he's a big time player. Yeah. I mean, he steps up to the challenge of anybody's number one receiver. He wants the challenge. He has that mentality that, you know, you can't beat me. I think he's getting a lot of eyes. It would be a lot more eyes if they were winning.
Yeah.
I mean, and to be honest with you, he could be considered as one of the defensive rookies of the year. Wow. I mean, because he's playing lights out back there. If yep. you look at him, but he'll probably never get it just because of the team he's on.
Right.
But the future is bright for this kid. I mean,
in the immortal words of in Coming to America, the boy good. He good.
he
I
good.
Mean, he is.
He is really good.
Boy, he is talented. I mean, and I'm telling you what, like you said, you want to talk, he'll talk.
He'll
you want to back it up, he'll back it up. And he is athletic, he makes plays. They got, you know, and again, the Jacksonville team has got more talent on defense than offense, but as I said to Trapp, they're not leaving the cupboard bare. Aside from the quarterback position, the skill position players in Jacksonville are pretty solid too.
No doubt. I mean, I think the line, the offensive line is hurting. And, you know, as some people may think they can fix Blake. Yeah. I don't know, but, you know, that's their choice.
Well, you better have a pretty big toolbox. That's all I'm saying. All right, we still got to get Keenan's worst Christmas gift of all time and plenty more to get to between now and the end of the show. We are here till 4, ESPN 97.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, Keenan McCardell, Nick Sciarra behind the glass as we hit it up till 4, trying to go kind of rapid fire to get the expert opinion of one Keenan McCardell. I'll go next with the next on the topical list of someone that just got out of coaching college football. Your thoughts on Leonard Fournette and McCaffrey skipping bowl games to prepare for the NFL draft?
You know what? I think you should play your last game if that's going to be your last game. But if you're hurt and you know you're coming out, you got to get healthy so you can prepare for the draft. You know, and I don't think Christian McCaffrey's hurt, but I mean, I don't even know if Leonard Fournette's hurt either.
He's been dinged up all year.
But he's been dinged up more than Christian. So, you know, I would feel that, you know, you should play.
I agree with you, but my question then becomes, is it different? Is this even an issue if these teams are playing in the Final Four?
No, it's not. I mean, they both would play. But as a player, you know how to play and come out. You know how to come out.
But Exhibit A on the flip side is the Jalen Smith, the linebacker
from Notre Dame. He
decided
got hurt.
To play, was going to be a top 10 pick, and blew everything in his knee.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that these kids are, you know, are looking at too. They're looking at that situation. And you know what? You know, if you know that you're coming out, I mean, does this game really matter? No, it doesn't. I mean, but no. The only thing that it matters to the pro scouts is why are you not playing?
Yeah, like
you got to be honest with the pro scouts.
Judging your dedication. Yeah, you Kelvin Cato.
You got to be honest with the pro scouts and say, well, I just decided not to play because I wanted to prepare for the draft and not be injured.
Yeah, I don't want to risk injury. I don't want to, you know, if I go out there and tweak a hammy or something, then I can't run. Yep. I can't do my 40 times. Plus that, I mean, I know these guys know how to get down and avoid injury, but there's non-contact injuries all the time where guys blow out their knee just making a cut. So that would scare me. Well, you got millions and millions and millions of dollars on the line, especially those two guys.
But you better.
One guy tweeted the fact that he got hurt during the combine. And that can get you too. So you,
but that's
really,
fine.
You bet on you. To be honest with you, I always bet on myself, and I don't think about it that way. I always bet on myself that I'm not gonna, you know, I'm gonna be healthy. I'm gonna do the right things, and I'm gonna come through it healthy.
I've heard the argument, which I tend to agree with, made by several people in sports talk radio here and nationally. That, well, what's the difference than when coaches leave? You know, because you hear the coaches say, "Well, you should play your last game," and I think it's valid to say, "Well, you can't hold the players to, hey, you need to play. You committed to this team. Yeah, well, coach.
You
so
just got
you.
A new job. You
thanks
left.
A lot, Tom yeah. Herman.
That's
you know,
another big guy.
Thanks a lot, Tom yeah. Herman, but you're not here for the bowl game. You know what I mean? So turnabout is fair play, and if there's no rules like that holding you to completing the season, then why should it be for the players as well? And I wouldn't make that argument because I'm of the opinion that I don't care. If you don't want to play in your last game because you want to be healthy to go potentially make millions of dollars, that's your business. That's fine. You're not contractually obligated. And the same thing with coaches if they want to leave. But it's a valid argument that these coaches can't be expecting the players' loyalty when they don't offer none themselves.
Because as soon as they get the job, they're going
absolutely
to the next
absolutely
to the next
without question. And they're not going to send you even a see you later, miss you,
yeah.
thank you note, any of that.
And why do they leave? Money. So why do they sit out? Money. I don't have a problem with it.
And then again, you get the argument again from the people that are going to say, well, they're getting paid in college because they're getting an education. Okay. It can go back and forth. The one I do want to get to is, you ever blown a 2.17 or a .217? Michael Floyd just got the on his DUI, .217.
It's like he wasn't even trying. I mean, you got that's it.
And the Pats, by the way, were aware of it and still signed him. Not surprising.
Not surprising. I mean, they're gonna get the best out of this situation.
It's a steal for them if it turns out.
If it turns out they're gonna get the best out of the situation, and then. You know, maybe we can turn him around. Maybe we can change him. I mean, that's just how he thinks his locker room is, that he has enough leaders in that locker room that can get to him and say, hey, this is not what we do here.
Another team that you played for, the Skins, went from one of America's darlings and a team that looked like they were in to a team that looked so bad that they are going to have their work cut out for them to try and get in. Looks like they're out.
They had all the... They had everything working for them. Monday night, they just looked bad. It's probably the worst outing that they've had in a while because they've been playing very well. Cam and the Carolina offense is they're so up and down.
They are. You Stewart ran the ball, which gave him balance.
That's what gave him balance. That's what helped Cam out was that Jonathan Stewart was running the football. But I mean, that their passing game is like. It's like, find me. I mean, 1 minute, Ted Ginn will catch it. 1 minute, he'll drop it.
Oh, he dropped that easy one.
Yeah, then he caught the one down. I can't believe the Washington Redskins fumbled the ball basically at home against these guys because they were ripe to be beat. They weren't playing for anything. Carolina wasn't playing for anything, and you were playing for everything. So,
yeah.
How do you fumble the ball there?
You know, the one thing that drives me nuts about Cam is if you watch that game, how he was at the end of the game, how he's running around pointing and laughing and hot-dogging and showing off. And it's like, you know, you can't do that if you pout like you pout when you lose. That pisses me off because it's like, you can't, like, you get really pouty when you lose. And you let it come out in those press conferences, but now you're out here laughing and, man, stop. Just stop. Just be even killed. That's all people want.
Not really. I mean, he plays with a lot of emotion. And, you know, I enjoyed him being, you know, having fun with his teammates. But but me, on the other hand, I want him to be more of a professional. And you know what?
Yeah.
Everybody is going to lose some games. Everybody's a not great losers. Everybody hates to lose.
They're better believe front runners.
Believe me. And you just got to be able to handle it like a professional. Go in there and say what's on your mind, all right? Drop the mic and walk out. Yep. That's all you got to do. Say what's on your mind, answer the questions, and get out of there. I mean, and then you can, and then nobody won't criticize you for when you like you just did for when he's out there jumping, high fiving, and doing all that.
You have to go into great detail. Just give him one sentence answers, but you participate.
All I'm asking, just be professional.
Look at Bill Belichick. Yes.
Just be professional.
We're on to Cincinnati.
We're on to such and such.
Right.
And
exactly. But Cam doesn't handle himself that way. And that's all I'm saying is just be professional. That way, when you are out there jumping around.
All right. And on that same note, fair or unfair, the slide, the hit, the fact that he got penalized because he threw the ball at the guy. But should that have been a penalty, helmet to helmet, when he slid?
Yes, it should have been helmet to helmet. And I know that they couldn't have seen that because how fast it was going. But as you slow, when they slow it down, you see it. I mean, you got to be able to see this and see if it's targeting. Maybe the rule, like what's in college, needs to be in the pros about targeting. Not that you kick them out right away, but like on the second one, I would think. And but that hit to Cam, and this is a reason why he reacted. And I knew exactly when he threw it right away, I knew why he reacted because the guy came over the top of him. He didn't hit him. He hit him with his helmet, you know, helmet to helmet. So I wasn't mad at Cam.
Because then they say, well, it goes back to the fact that he whined so much that he is not going to get that call. I agree with you more. It was the speed of the play. It was hard to tell. But then you get Cousins that goes down the sideline, and I thought it was a BS call. He was barely on the sideline and wasn't out of bounds yet and got hit. And they flagged that for a late hit protecting Cousins. And it goes to the whole point he's been making all year, which is they just don't protect Cam because he is just a freak of nature in terms of finding a guy at that size and athleticism to do what he does.
I will give you $1 million if they'd have called that flag on Cam. If that was if that was Cam running down the sideline, that when Cousins got hit, he would have never got that call.
That's what I was going towards.
Yeah. Part of, though, I think the NFL came out and made a point. He had given himself up as protected when he started running. So, yeah, that's what they were saying.
Cam or Cousins.
That was the NFL. Don't
blame
me. He's out
of the pocket. I understand that,
He's a runner. He's a runner in the field. He's not in the backfield. So
now, when he slides.
I said he slid.
I'm just telling you, yeah, I need to find the exact quote.
Feet first. He didn't dive. He didn't slide. He didn't dive head first. He slid.
Yep.
He's giving himself up. So if he's giving himself up, why do you even touch him?
Worst Christmas gift ever.
Worst Christmas gift ever.
You can't beat what we've gotten from people that have chimed in.
Mine is easy. I mean, it was just a sweater. I mean, it was a.
Was it a dickie or a sweater? Because I got a dickie.
No, it was a sweater.
Okay.
And it was rather ugly.
Okay. And, those are very fashionably in right now.
I know, and if I had that sweater that when
probably
I got
still
it,
fits.
No. It was probably when I was, I think it was 12. It was a very ugly sweater.
Done with Christmas shopping?
No.
Still got more to get.
Good luck.
Yes, I gotta jump out in here in this traffic and see what happens. Ugh. I was coming from Christmas. So Christmas shopping. So I mean, I got to get back out there and do some things. I got a couple things. So for the wife and for my son.
Hey, I found real quick. I said I would. I found the list of alternates from the Texans for the Pro Bowl: Dwayne Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, Lamar Miller, Whitney Merciless.
DeAndre Hopkins is alternate.
That surprised me the most of all of them.
Yep, were named as alternates.
Merciless, I thought could have warranted.
Merciless should have got in. He should have got in before Clowney.
Yeah,
even though they play different positions. I mean, they play earlier. Different positions.
Yep. Well, on behalf of Barry and myself.
Not hating on.
Merry Christmas.
Davian.
Happy holidays.
Hater!
Never
you know,
that.
I love you. You're a great friend. But what you do here is very valuable, and we appreciate it. So Merry Christmas to you and the family, and we'll see you on the flip side.
Same to you guys.
Appreciate that. Keenan McCardell, Nick Sherrara behind the glass. For Barry, I'm Joel. We'll talk to you tomorrow. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.